Gedvach, and welcome to our Slichos this year. First, I would like to thank our sponsors for the evening, Amy and Daniel Gieber, in honor of their children, anonymous sponsor, Lirfua Shleima, for Hannah Rasha Bas Yitaratza, I think it is. Another anonymous sponsor. So thank you for making this night possible. If anybody's interested in sponsoring, you can still do. Just talk to me after Slichos. I would like to ask everybody to please silence your phones before the Rav starts with the drasha. And at the end of the event, remember that this is a residential neighborhood, and please leave as quietly as possible.
Nobody's thinking, where did the year go? My beard's a little grayer. And we're all a year older. Baruch Hashem. There are some Jews who are no longer here with us. I want to give Yashar Koach to the whole Chevra for setting everything up, and for the sponsors. And Yidid Navshi, Rabbi Levin. And to thank again Yaakov Hagler, Hashem, how many years, Yaakov? 20-something. 22, 23 years, Kleinhar. We should be able to continue in good health, and we should be able to continue next year to say Slichos in Yerushalayim. Those who learn this far feel this time of the year surrounded by Kedusha, Anila Doidi, Melech Basoda, the king of all kings, leaves his royal chamber to come to see us, to speak to us, to be mechazek us. The entire time of Elul is filled with Ahava and his karvus. Especially if one learns Eretz Hatshuva, it's so far from the heaviness and the overall sense of gloom and doom that I used to feel when I was a bacher in yeshiva. The Marish Chayra, this time of the year, there was always a feeling of depression and heaviness. Not a feeling of kirvus elokim litoiv, optimism and excitement. And then all of a sudden, after going through Elul with the Svar Makadoshim, with Rav Tzadik and the Svasamis and the Alter Rebbe and Rav Kook and all the Tzadikim, being so excited and uplifted and happy, then all of a sudden when you hear that first Ashrei, when you hear that nusach, and then you hear the Kaddish, the first Kaddish, and suddenly you feel thrown back into that old way, which is a holy way. From the earliest time, I remember being told in yeshiva that even the fish are shaking in the ocean, in the water. And when you hear the words, L'cha Hashem Atzdaka V'lona Boishas Aponim, and you say the words, G'dal M'chirashim D'afartin D'losecha, Hashem, I'm so embarrassed. And here we are again, knocking at your door, impoverished, empty. In many ways, it could be worse than last year. It's very hard not to wonder, not to think about the possibility that maybe I'm just running away from the truth. And maybe all of this beautiful talk of Ani L'Doidi that I see in this forum, and all the shiurim that we hear and that we give of encouragement, it's all true, but when you hear Kaddish, we hear Ashrei in Kaddish, there's a certain feeling, a ruach of Yeyush, chas v'chalila, a ruach that penetrates to the heart. And it leaves you with a feeling of boishti v'nechlamti laharim panai. Hashem, all the drashas are beautiful, and all the tzaddikim, everything they say is true. But at this moment, I must confess, boishti v'nechlamti laharim panai. I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face and to look at you in the eyes. And in a flash, in a moment, all of that optimism and excitement slips away. And even though we have now fancy slichas with the translations, I know that I'm transported back to that time. We had the little booklet. And I myself am a little fish that's shaking. So we need to talk for a few minutes to get ready to enter into this palace. To enter into the Heichal HaMelech. That's what tonight is about. And to have a frame of mind, a way of thinking, a way of approaching. Uvechein ovo el HaMelech asher lo kados. V'ol inyan of slichas. The Baron Kalinas Chusilani used to say that we have to remember it, we're asking for slichas. We're asking for forgiveness. We're asking to be forgiven. We used to say the word slichas. There are three types of Jews. Three ways that we say vidui, different people, different viduyim, but there are basically three ways of approaching this time of the year. There's a Yid, there's a Jew that is shakua, that's deeply, deeply immersed, embedded. In the words, mi yichya umi yomis. Who is going to live and who is going to die? For this person, when he asks Hashem, Zachreinu L'chaim, remember me for life, he means plain and simple that I should be able to continue living. Myself, family and so on, friends, community, The Sefer HaChaim for this Jew is a book of biology. Now he understands that there's some stuff that he's got to do in order to get written into that book. And he's learned that and he's been taught that since he can remember. You can't just jump into the Sefer HaChaim. So this person who wants desperately to live and who doesn't, this person who wants to live, he knows that there are things that were damaged last year, this past year. He knows that in many ways his life has disappointed the one who created him. But he wants to live. And in a very simple and clear way, he knows that he's got to change some things. He's got to do something to get his place in the Sefer HaChaim, to find his way into the Sefer HaChaim. That's one type of a Jew this time of the year. The second type, this person already has a different musig, a different understanding of the words Chaim Tovim, a good life. It's a different understanding. When he says the words in Unisana Toikiv, Miyichya Miyomus, who will live and who will die, his thoughts, his feelings are deeper, more refined, more edel. This Jew is not thinking right now about life in this world. He's worried about life beyond this world. What's going to be with me in the world that is forever? So for him, the words Miyichyo Miyomus take on a different level of importance, of significance. And he's wondering tonight, during Elul, but in a more intense way, tonight he's beginning to think, as are many of you, that what happened this past year and what I've done this past year, have I, God forbid, forfeited something that was waiting for me, that was ready for me in that world beyond? Have I drawn myself closer to that place, to that reality? Have I drawn further away from that Metzius that's beyond this world? And Chas V'Chalila, maybe even dragged myself into a different way, into a darker and frightening way of life beyond this life. This is a different type of a person. But there is that Tzad HaShav HaBeneihem. There is something that they share in common. What they share in common is that they're both filled with hope for life. The first person's hope is to live in this world. And that it should be a good year without sickness, without problems. It should be a year with parnasa and the children should be well. They should go in the right derech. They should be able to be happy. This should be good for all Jews, and our enemies should be destroyed. And the other person is longing for life as well, and he's thinking about himself. Whereas the first person is preoccupied with Olam Hazeh, with this world and all that this world means. And he's frightened that he might not be able to have this world anymore. Sof kol sof, there isn't a day that we go without hearing about somebody who suddenly is taken away from this world. Or suddenly Chalila becomes sick, or loses his parnasa, or something goes wrong with the children. The second person is also desperate for life, and he's also focused on himself. But the life that he's worried about is primarily the one beyond this world. And where does he stand in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, the Emes? And how is he going to be judged at 120? But sof kol sof, both of these individuals are prepared to go through all of the rituals of this time of the year. And they dust off the slichas and they take out the machzorim. And the kittel goes to the dry cleaner. And the special white yarmulke. And the little thing for the honey. All the paraphernalia that we have and that we honor as Jews. Takes out of the closet. He understands that in order for me to have what I want, Reuven wants life in this world. Shimon is more interested in life in the next world. But in order for both Reuven and Shimon to have what they want, to be in the Mi Yichya column in the Machzor, they both understand that they have to go through all of these things to try to show up for Slichas, to say these words, most of which they don't understand, and to go through the confessions, and to walk with a solemn face to Shul Mincha of Yom Kippur, and to bend over and to clap Al Chait, and during a sesame tshuva to wave a chicken or to wave a couple of dollars. And Rosh Hashanah, or Sesame Tshuva, to go to the water to say a couple of words. The kids, they both know that they want life, but they know that in order to earn life, you have to clean up your act a little bit, or a lot. And that God gave us, and the sages, Chazal, and the Tzaddikim gave us all kinds of mysterious things that we need to do to clean up our act. And that somehow, if we do this stuff, and we try to avoid krechzing, and we are soldiers, and we show up to all of the expected events, including this one tonight, or beginning with this one tonight, that somehow, maybe, ulai yochuz amani ve'evyoin, ulai yirachein, that maybe he'll have rachmanis, and somehow I'll get an extension if I'm the first person in this world, and for the second person who also would love to be in the world, in this world, but is mostly worried about the world beyond this world, and that somehow we'll be zeichetu, when the time comes, not to be ashamed, to be brought somewhere, wherever that is, to be brought together with his illustrious ancestors, and to enjoy the radiance of Hashem's light in Olam Haba. But there's a third Jew. Oh, this is my favorite one. The other two, the first two are beautiful. But the third one is the one that I'm longing to become, to be. This third person, this man, this woman, what he's most, what she's most concerned about, beginning tonight, or Elul, but in earnest tonight, is worried about the Kesher, or lack of connection that he or she has with the master of the world. This person is wondering when he says the words, "Mi yichyo, mi yamos," who will live and who will die. Of course, he also wants to live in this world till 120. And of course, she wants to have a lichtige olam haba, a beautiful olam haba. But for this third person, the words, the question, "Mi yichyo, mi yamos," the meaning of it is, this coming year, am I going to be able to finally find deeper meaning in my life? Am I going to have chiyus, more chiyus in my davening, more chiyus in my learning, more chiyus in my marriage, more chiyus with my children, more of a life of meaning, of depth, of sincerity? Or is this going to be another year of miyamas? If a year at all, if I survive, if I live. For this Jew, the pasuk of the Torah that speaks most to him is, "Va'atem adveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kulchem hayoyim." Va'atem adveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. What's with that life? What's going to be with that life this coming year? The life of Atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeich Chayim Kulchem Hayoyim. To be more deeply connected to the one who made me and to remember why he made me and to live a life B'Or Pnei Melech in the light of the king's face. Or am I going to continue to live a life hiding behind big walls, all kinds of aveiras, all kinds of shtusim, all kinds of narishkeit, all kinds of apps and WhatsApps and all kinds of sites and games and toys and narishkeit and empty davening, empty Shabbos, time wasted reading narishkeit, newspapers, looking at all kinds of silly things, thinking about silly things, mechitzas, ad leva shemayim, walls and barriers, day after day, shachris, mincha, marv, never once thinking about God, never once watching where my eyes wander, never once thinking about the pureness of my heart or the emptiness of my heart. Now this person knows about Olam Hazeh, and he loves his family, and he loves his life, and he wants to live. And he also cares about Olam Haba, and he wants to have a beautiful Olam Haba. But for now, that's not what he's focused on. That's not the essence of what he's thinking about. The beginning of the third parak of Eiras HaTshuva, Rav Kook speaks about two types of tshuva. Specific tshuva, tshuva pratis, mufereshes, and tshuva stomis klolos. Specific tshuva and general tshuva. This third Jew that I'm talking about now, he might not even be thinking tonight or over the next few days about Aveira Ploinis or Aveira Almainis. He might not be thinking about a specific Aveira there are. But he might not be thinking about or obsessed with a particular Aveira, something specific that's wrong. Listen, I'll just go straight to the English. Listen to what this Jew might be thinking about. And there is another feeling of general non-specific tshuva. Hagoshas tshuva stomis klolos. No sin or sins of the past enters such a person's awareness necessarily at the beginning. Of course, that's a Yom Kippur, but at the beginning, that's not what he's thinking about. But in general, he feels within himself that he is very much oppressed, that he is filled with sin, that the light of Hashem is not shining on him. There is no willing spirit within him. His heart is sealed. His traits, midosav utchunais nafshai, his traits and the qualities of his personality do not proceed on the straight and fitting path. He could find terutzim, he could rationalize all the details of his life. But be'emes, between him and the Rebbeinu Shlom, he knows it's crooked, it's off. Do not proceed on the straight and fitting path, the path that is appropriate to fill a pure spirit with a proper life force. His understanding is coarse. Haskalosa higasa. His understanding of godliness, of elokus. He still talks the same way like when he was in cheder, he was in third grade. He still thinks of God like an old man with a white beard on a big chair with books and writing and this and that. His hasagas is still silly and childish and immature of what it means to be a Jew. His feelings are adulterated with darkness and with a craving that awakens a spiritual revulsion within him. He is ashamed of himself. He knows that God is not in him. And for him, this is the greatest suffering, the most terrible transgression. He feels a terrible bitterness about himself. He cannot find a way to escape his trap, which has no specific attribute. It's not this sin or that. It's just who he is or isn't. Which means he's completely chained, trapped. And from the midst of this bitter feeling of his spirit, tshuva comes like the bandage of an expert healer. And Rav Kook goes on to speak about tshuva. This is the third type of a person. Let me use a mashal. A mashal to describe how this third type of an individual feels tonight and how he begins his way back and how you and I can begin our way back. Mashal mahadova daima. Reuven has done some terrible things to hurt his friend Shimon. Reuven regrets and is sorry for what he's done. And he wants to be mephayis, he wants to apologize, he wants to make right with Shimon. And he wants to bring back the old friendship because they were very dear, dear friends all of their lives. So there is a way of approaching this, where Reuven humbly comes to Shimon, and Reuven begins to itemize the sins that he committed against Shimon, ki rabim heim, and maybe ef shalafartam, there are many, many sins, and he begins to itemize the sins that he's committed against his friend, and by doing so, he's able to prove that he's sincere, that he regrets what he's done. He's able to demonstrate that he has taken achrayis, responsibility, to repair what's gone wrong, not to repeat his sins against his old friend Shimon. This is one path of tshuva. And it's a very holy path. It's what Rav Kook refers to as specific tshuva. In the example of Ben Adam Chavero, between two Jews. But there is a derech amuka, there is a deeper path that's simpler and more straightforward and more effective and more powerful. Even though at some point further in the future, some details will come out. But for now, at the beginning, Reuven simply comes to Shimon. And Reuven begins to cry and he says, Shimon. Shimon's very shocked to see him. And Reuven says, Shimon, you know that all of the years we loved each other in the deepest way. Shimon, do you remember the time that we were in first grade and we did this? And you remember in second grade when we did that? And you remember the playground back in the old neighborhood? And you remember this? Do you remember that? You remember how we used to spend Friday night together, Shabbos? And do you remember the trips that we took and so on and so forth? Ahavas oylem ahavtich. All of the years. So Shimon, what happened? Shimon, what happened is that I did disgusting things. There are things that you know about, God knows about, and I know about. And I remember everyone. But I want to tell you something, Shimon, even though all of those are true, and we could talk about them in the future. We have time, maybe to Yom Kippur. All of those things have happened, and I committed many things to hurt you. But this I have to tell you. That is not the emes of who I am in my relationship with you. All of those things that I did do not define my feelings for you, do not describe, can't come close, chalila, to defiling the essence of a relationship that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And all of the years of that keshe, all of the warmth, all of the laughter, all of the crying together, all the hiskarvus, all the tmimus between us, all of our shared experiences and jokes and times together, all the conversations that we had together, all of that really defines our relationship. And Shimon, I'll talk to you about, we'll go through the list a different time. I'm not hiding. I've done bad things. And there are things I didn't even tell you about that I did to hurt you. You don't even know that I did them. But right now, I desperately want to tear down the mechitza between us. And I want to tell you, ahavas oylem ahavtich, that's who I am. Ashtik ahava. Now, Rabbi said, it's machlokes in Gemara Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. It's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. Is there a din? Is there a chiv, an obligation to be mefaret the chait? Are we obligated to itemize the raisa, the rabbanon? Are we obligated to itemize al chait, al chait, al chait, al chait? And to specify exactly that chait, what it was. What was the sin? Are we obligated? It's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava holds that we're obligated to itemize our sins, to specify our sins. And he brings the Beferish Apostik in the aftermath of the Chaita Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ono chato ha'om hazeh chato gedoyla, that this nation has sinned a terrible sin. And he specifies and says, V'yasu lehem Elohei Zohav. They built an Egel HaZohav, they built a golden calf. So Yehuda Mabavar brings a raya that we see from here, that one has to specify and itemize the chait. You can't just say, Chotam chato gedolah, they sinned. You have to say, Osu lehem Elohei Zohav, they made an Egel HaZohav. What the Aveira, what is the Aveira? Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva brings from David Malki Mashiach. And David Malach says, Ashrei nisui pesha kisui chato. Fortunate and happy is the one who knows how to conceal and cover his sins. But then the question is, Rabbi Akiva, we know, Rabbi Akiva, you always, always look at things with such hope and such optimism. We know, Rabbi Akiva, that your way of looking at this time of the year is Anila Doidi Vidoidi Li. It's all Shira Shirim. It's all Ahav. It's all Melech Basada. It's all Tibi Mechadesh, the Kesher. It's all Reuben and Shimon crying in each other's arms. And Reuben saying, I did. Shimon says, I don't want to talk. I don't want to hear. You don't have to say another word. I know who you are. You know who I am. Let's forget about the past. It's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Akiva is the one who's laughing when everybody else is crying. But Rabbi Akiva, what do you do, Taki, with the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Oslohim Elohei Zohav. They made a golden calf, which the Gemara of Rabbi Yudhimovah says that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu specifies the chait. So you remember what Rabbi Akiva does with that? We would be in big trouble if Rabbi Akiva never lived. You know what Rabbi Akiva did with that? Chavi, you shouldn't be falling asleep. Every Motzei Shabbos, you're up later than this. I have no rachmanis. It's Motzei Shabbos. You remember what Rabbi Akiva said? Devei Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Akiva says, oh, the Pasuk, where it says, V'yashalhem El Hezov. Oma Moishel Fnei HaKadosh Baruch. This is the most unbelievable comeback in the history of the world. The biggest Nahafechu, better than Purim. Oma Moishel Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yishalom, Kesev Hezov, Sheh Beisalhem Li Yisrael, Ad Sha'amru Dai, Garam Lahem Shayasu Elohezov. Rabbi Akiva says the pshat in that, when Moshe Rabbeinu said that they made an Egel Azov, is that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, it's your fault. You gave them all the gold and silver when they left Mitzrayim, all the spoils, and because of that, what do you want? You gave them so much, Dizov, that until they said, die, must speak, they had so much gold and silver. So what do you want from them? So then you're the one that caused it. It's your fault that they made an Egel Azov. If Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have said it, we could never even dream of such a limud zchus. Rabbi Akiva, who always, always, always goes to the pnimius, to the shirish, to the deepest, deepest place. Rabbi Akiva, of course, agrees that one has to admit that he has sinned. And as far as halach is concerned, there is sort of a compromise between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We're not going into that right now. But Rabbi Akiva is saying the following. That at some point in the future, in a couple of days from now, closer to Yom Kippur, says to me, Shuv Yom Kippur, I know that I have to itemize. I know that it's not, in the end, just enough to tell my beloved, Chatosi, Avisi Pashati, it's enough just to say, I have sinned, and now we hug, and everything is forgotten, because we know, I know, you know. Rabbi Akiva acknowledges that there's going to have to be some hard work in the future to fix all that's gone wrong. And that requires good memory and skill in terms of repairing the damage. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is that I want, and Hashem's Baruch wants us to begin this time of the year with the mindset of that third Jew. With the highest level of the mindset of that third Jew who says the following, Rabbeinu Shalom, Chatosi Lefanech, I have sinned against you. And I understand that there are repercussions in this world. And I know there's such a thing as din, and I know there's such a thing as mida keneged mida. And I understand that there are repercussions in the world beyond, there are reverberations in the world beyond, and that could affect, my sins could affect, if I leave them in this way, they could affect what happens to me in Olam Haba. But right now, I'm not going into all of those details. I'm not going into the filth of what's happened this past year. Right now, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to tell you something else. I want to tell you that, first of all, there's Baruch Hashem, you have given me Kesev Zohav. You have given me much in my life, and I have many, many things and possessions in my life. And I've become overly connected to those things and those possessions. And I myself have gained much from the spoils of our people from Egypt. And the Kesev and Zov of my life have been a tremendous distraction. I'm grateful. for all that you've given me, but it's a distraction. And v'yasa lahem elohei zov, from what you've given me. And I want to add something else, Rabbi Shalom. We learned from Rabbi Akiva and Chevra, if you look in the Slichas, in any of the Slichas, you look tonight in the Piyutim of the Slichas. Just go ahead. Most of the Slichas, you know what we're talking about? Most of the Slichas, we're not asking for forgiveness. What are we doing in most of the Slichas? In most of the Slichas, we're talking about the tzaras of the Jewish people. Erev Rosh Hashanah, an hour's worth. Tonight, just a few words. Kam Yisar Tonu, Rabbi Shalom, you have tormented us. I did Tzir Mushluchim by the anti-Semites you sent. And we haven't heard those who have told us Musa. And because of that, we've been driven away. Neharagim, murdered. Nishchatim, slaughtered. Nitbachim, butchered. Saradnu miseimat. Your people are left as a small, tiny number. Ben kaitzim kisuchim. Our eyes are longing for salvation. All other people in the world have something, and we're still the ones that are the target of the Iranians. Everybody's standing up to destroy, to hurt your people. We're crushed. We have nothing to rely upon, nothing to trust, no one to turn to. Shaychen ad v'kodesh shvei be'elboin anuchim. Look at the misery and the pain of those who are suffering. So we do itemize in Slichas. The same way some of you might remember how the Klosenbergers said that first year when they were liberated, I'm sure you remember, many of you, and if you don't, you have to see that, there's no time to go into it now, but how the Klosenbergers said, the Ashabnu Bogadnu, when they were liberated from concentration camp, and you start to scream, I don't know what avarice we could have done over here. Did I give a krechs one time? When the little bit of skin that I had left on my bones got stuck with the planks at night in the barracks and it pulled off my skin and I gave a krechs, is that my sin? Was that the sin that we committed against you? So Rabbi Akiva, who looks in the churban, and in that churban Rabbi Akiva ignites a spark of hope, says the following. He says that right now, the ikkar is not to be focused on the items, on the list of chatoim. Of course, we have to get to them. But the beginning of tshuva, of Cook is talking about, Rabbi Kiva is talking about, is that third Jew who comes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. I want to have a relationship with you. And if I haven't had one until now, I want to start, I want to have one. And I know that it's rationalizing, I know I'm making excuses, but the emes is, I have much pain in my life. And everybody here has things that are hurting. I, me, and you, we have things that are hurting. Things that haven't gone the way we wanted in our lives, in Ruchnis and Gashmis, with the children, with those who we love. Lo chaser, there's no chisaron when it comes to tzaras, to pain, to difficulties. And it's hard for us and we're hurting. But I want to say to you tonight, Ein onu azei panem ukshei arev loyma lefanecha. I'm not a mechutzif to say to you, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Tzadikim anachnu v'loi chatonu. I'm not a mechutzif to say that I'm a tzadik and I haven't sinned. So the question always bothered me is, why don't we just say in the vidui, say it straight,
Rishoyim Anachnu V'chatonu. What's this whole long dray? Einonu Ozei Ponim K'sheyarif Loimelo Fenecha Uribah B'chutzbidik Loimelo Fenecha Hashem Elokeinu V'lokei V'seinu Tzadikim Anachnu V'loi Chatonu. We're tzadikim, we're not chutzpah to say, tzadikim anachnu v'chatonu. Just say, them is, rishoyim anachnu v'chatonu. We're wicked and we've sinned. So you know what the teretz is? Because what we're really saying to Hashem is this. We're not saying that we're tzadikim who haven't sinned. We're not saying that. We're saying that we're what? That we're tzadikim who have sinned. That's the pshat. We're not Rishoyim. We're Tzadikim who have sinned. Our enemies are the Rishoyim. Everybody here is Moshe Nefesh to be a Jew. What you don't give up, what we don't give up, to daven, to try to learn a little bit, to keep mitzvahs, to give half of the parnasa, two-thirds of the parnasa for tuitions for yeshivas. Well, we're not Moshe Nefesh. We don't say we're Rishoyim. We're not Rishoyim. Tzadikim anachnu. But we're not chutzpah to say tzadikim anachnu v'chatonu. That's a chutzpah. We're tzadikim who have sinned. Because that statement defines who we are. Not the aveiros. Not the list. There's a list of aveiros. And we built an egel azov. And you put us into a crazy world. And we're building egel azovs. And we don't want to do that anymore. We're tzadikim who have sinned. And then we say, Mishon al Avram Avinu Baharam Yuyanin. Mishon al Yisab in Ashnek Al Gimzeh Huyanin. Mishon al Yisab Esa, Mishon al Yisab Esa, Mishon al Yisab Esa, Sumi Anenu. So what are we saying? What is the history class? We're teaching Hashem history. We're reminding Him of our past. No. What we're doing is this. We're saying to Baruch Shalom, take a look. There's a big mess. Take a look past the Egel Azov. Look past the Egel Azov that we made. And if you look deep into our hearts, you're going to see one thing. Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Al Gabi HaMizbeach. Every one of us would die Al Kiddush Hashem. Our grandparents did. Yosef HaBeis HaAsurim. Yosef HaTzadik in jail. Who's not? Everyone. What wouldn't we do? A person would run away and do all kinds of crazy things, but we're held back because we want to be Jews. So if you look deep inside of us, you don't see those avarice, you don't see those sins. You see Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu and Yosef at Tzadik and Moshe and Aaron and so on, all the Tzadikim, all the Tzadkonius. And therefore we could say, Mishon al Avraham Avinu Bar Yaneinu. And then I found Erev Shabbos, the most wondrous thing in one of the Kadmonim, in the Beis Elokim from the Ma'abit, which I always learn this time of the year, in Perek Tes Vav, the Ma'abit writes the following. He's explaining the davening of Hashem Kippah of a Yigba Elo Hashem Tzavokes Bamishpat, that Hashem is elevated in judgment. And he writes one sentence. V'hu kishereitza hakel yizbarach lasa is mishpat. When Hashem comes to judge sinners, us, Hashem doesn't go microscopically. This is the Ma'abit. Hashem ascends. That if we come to Hashem like that third Jew, we cry, we say, let's fix it up. Then what? Shaloi lahabit v'loi lofashvesh b'ninachatoyim kol kach. Then Hashem doesn't dig around and look so closely at the Averis. Ela b'chei derech klal. In more of a general way. V'loi b'prote hadvarim shebashas asiyas achet. And not in every detail, all the details that took place, the ugliness, b'shas asiyas achet. So if we come back to Him as children who are desperate to return, and we are not hiding from our sins, but the ikkar is not life in this world, and the ikkar is not even life in the next world. The ikkar is to have a meaningful life of tachlis in this world. And tachlis means a kesher with the borei olam. More learning, more davening, more mitzvahs, but with feeling, with emotion, with caring. Ben Adam Lamokim, Adam Chaveira. So then our general tshuva, the Rav Kook calls general tshuva, brings Hashem Yisbarach Kivyochol to ascend and to look at things, the sins, in more of a general way instead of a specific way. So it's already Chatzos, and it's time to say Slichas. So there's only time for a little story, but I think I want to end with this story. It's not even a story. Everybody here heard of Rav Baruch Ber, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, who was at Tzaddik HaKadosh, Rav Baruch Ber. That's my Rebbe's Rebbe, Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber's father was a huge Talmud Chacham. His name was Reb Shmuel Leibowitz. Reb Shmuel was deathly ill. We're talking about right after World War I in Vilna. And Reb Shmuel was very sick. And Rav Baruch Ber did not leave his bedside for close to a month. And his father was languishing in pain, and Rav Baruch Ber was taking care of him. And his father was nifter, his father passed away. Baruch Ber was a very, very sensitive person. And he was convinced that he did not do enough to help his father. And I've had conversations over the years with many, many people, including myself, who have tormented themselves. I could have done more. I should have done more. There was that doctor. I didn't go looking in that place. I didn't find that expert. And Rav Baruch Ber was mamish unable to function. He was tormented by this guilt, even though everybody told him, you never left your father's side. Your mamish did what you could. The doctors, whatever, you know, they gave him all the talks. I should go to practice, and what could you do? And that's how it is. And Rav Baruch Ber could not be consoled. There was a time he stopped giving shiurim. He mamish couldn't be consoled. Till finally, there was a meeting of Rabbanim in Vilna. And the Chofetz Chaim was there. Now this past year, we were all zeichet to see the Chofetz Chaim walking, right? If you haven't seen that, you should say Al Chait. So imagine. So Chofetz Chaim comes to this meeting and everybody, all the Rebbes and all the Rashivas and all the Rabbanim, Chofetz Chaim is here. And the Chofetz Chaim looks at Rav Baruch Ber, who's sitting with his head down, and the Chofetz Chaim says to Rav Baruch Ber, come with me. I need to talk to you. And they go into a room on the side, and the Chofetz Chaim tells Rav Baruch Ber to sit down, and the Chofetz Chaim sits next to him, and the Chofetz Chaim takes his hand, and Rav Baruch Ber starts to cry. And he starts to cry that I didn't do for my father. And the Chofetz Chaim says, Baruch Ber, tshuva doesn't only mean, the feelings and what you've gone through doesn't only mean that Hashem has erased anything in the past that wasn't perfect. Everything that Chofetz Chaim says is very straight and simple. He says, Chofetz Chaim said, tshuva means that your mamish starting everything fresh, brand new. Everything is new. Now we all know that, but we haven't heard it from the Chofetz Chaim. But Baruch Ber stops crying, he looks up, and the Chofetz Chaim makes nice to him. And Baruch Ber starts to jump. He was a very emotional person, starts to jump around the room, starts to scream, Anaya Baruch Ber! Anaya! He runs into the whole meeting of that. Anaya Baruch Ber! A new Baruch Ber! A new Baruch Ber! Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us. That if we're honest, then we try, and we do our best, and we feel that pain, that we should be able to be zeiche, we don't have the Chofetz Chaim, we should be zeiche to feel Hashem holding our hands, Hashem Yisbarach himself and the tzaddikim holding our hands, and looking at us and saying, it's okay. Masha haya haya, whatever was, was. But everything is new. Tavshin Ayin Vav. Everything is new. So that you and I can come to this year, Mitzvah Shem, Anaya Chaya Moshe.
each and every one of us, new, filled with new dreams, new hopes, new simchas, new convictions, new hischaskas, new strength, so that we'll be able to finally return tall and proud, to be able to look at Hashem Yisbarach in the eyes. In that place that we're all longing for, with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Gula Hashem, V'Amitis, M'hem Yomino, Amen, V'Amen.